This is the Opening Market Podcast on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network for Monday, May the 16th. I'm Dustin Huffman. We're on the phone with Greg McBride of Allendale. And Greg, we got some big news here over the weekend concerning wheat markets. Let's lead off there and tell us what's going on going into this Monday.
Yeah, as reported a few weeks ago, India has decided to ban wheat exports. Initially, it was a conversation about the extreme heat that they'd seen and concerns over domestic issues, but it turns out what they're really doing is trying to regulate some of the private exporters in country. So we hear that they're going to ban exports at a time when we've got issues with, you know, Russia and the Ukraine and our own production here in the U.S. And it just drives the market wild. Well, if you do a little bit of a deeper dive into it, you see that India is already at a good point with the amount of sales and shipments that they've already made. And this is not necessarily a complete and total ban. This is a ban on private exporters, not necessarily government exports. So those contracts that are already set up through the government are still available and still going to be met. It's a means to an end for them to try and get some of these private exporters under control so that they can get their piece of the pie too.
And that's what I was going to wonder then, with private exporters being, you know, reined in, for lack of better terms, what's that going to mean, you think, for the export market, both near term and long term, depending on how long this goes?
Well, I think it's more of a market excitement type thing. As far as the export market goes, I don't think it's a huge impact. I mean, it could be, but I don't think it is. We've already seen that in April, Russia's exports were three times what they were the previous year. Now we know that Ukraine has had their issues because they've struggled to ship things. They've tried to find other ports to be able to ship out of. But at this point, I don't think it's a major issue as we're going forward here. But it is a news story that without the proper vetting, really does make the market get excited. And that's why you see the limit up move in the wheat last night. It did back off of its highs a little bit here as we went into the day session, but it's more of a psychological excitement than actual physical excitement.
And it's interesting that you brought up the fact that Russia is exporting more wheat this year than last. We've all heard the reports. I talked to a Ukrainian farmer, you know, a couple of months ago, talking about what was happening with the grain that was sitting in storages. Has there been any reports on where Russia's getting that grain from?
The speculation at this point is that it is from the Ukraine. The problem is that no one can confirm or deny that, or no one really wants to step out on that limb. That is what we're watching, is as well as where that grain is coming from, because we are also hearing that they're shipping corn as well, but that's not something that's necessarily completely accurate. So we don't 100% know where it's coming from. The fact that they are shipping triple what they normally would is kind of interesting, because this is about the time where things start to slow down for them. Usually when they start to put bans or limits quotas on their wheat exports is in January, and that goes until the end of June. Well, they've already shipped the bulk of their supply, or they've already sold the bulk of their supply at that point. So to be shipping as much as they are is kind of an odd deal, especially given the circumstances that they've got on the ground in Ukraine.
Just a quick editorial note before we continue with Greg McBride. I referenced the fact that we'd already talked to a Ukrainian farmer. Back on March 24th, we talked with Nick Gordachuk from the Ukraine very early on in the conflict, and he was already telling us about how occupied areas of the Ukraine were seeing Russians stealing grain from bins, elevators, whatever, and putting it on rail cars to send back to Russia.
Those areas which are already occupied in the south of Ukraine, Russians are stealing, in fact, the grains, and they already exported more than 5,000 tons of grains from the port in the south. And
now, as Greg said, people are speculating, but no one's going to be the first to say it out loud. But of course, Ukrainian farmers have been saying it out loud for almost 2 months now. Now, obviously, we've talked about, you know, what's going on with India, what's going on with Russia, but obviously closer to home, we don't talk about wheat a lot because there are very few acres grown here in Iowa, but we're not that far from where the wheat belt is in the Plain States. What are things looking like in that standpoint? I mean, because we know that all these prices will eventually affect us at the grocery store for those products that use wheat.
Yeah, it's I don't really want to call it a disaster because we don't know yet, but it is a very tenuous situation. Let's put it that way. The southern crop in the Great Plains with Kansas, Oklahoma is in really rough shape. We're talking about 28% to 30% good to excellent conditions, which is historically low. And then you know you consider that they were in a drought last year. They're continuing to be in that drought this year. There's some areas that have gotten some rain, but nothing major. And then you go up further north into the northern plains. You go into the Dakotas and Montana, and they were in a drought last year. They're coming into trying to plant this spring wheat this year, and they're way behind because they've had nothing but snow, rain, cold, you name it. And they haven't really, there's some places that haven't turned a wheel yet. And those that have are still behind the eight ball as far as the weather goes. So they're very slow to plant this year. And so you've got the entire wheat complex, so whether it's Minneapolis, KC, Chicago, are seeing these extreme measures. Now the stuff in, say, the Eastern Corn Belt in Ohio or Indiana or Michigan or Southern Illinois is not in that bad a shape. It's had rain. The question just becomes, that's such a smaller crop. Does it really matter what's going on with that? It's the bigger crop in KC or in Kansas and in Oklahoma that's the biggest concern right now.
Now, switching gears back to the commodities that we tend to watch more here in Iowa, and that's corn and soybeans. We're seeing double-digit gains there. Were they just kind of going along for the ride with wheat's skyrocket overnight?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was no reason for necessarily to see the explosion higher. Now we did see things come off the highs by 5 to 10 cents on corn and beans. We had started that move in the new crop corn last week. Saw a strong move, but really, if you look at the way that the old crop has gone for corn, it has not really taken off as well. We're getting back to that $8 level, but you're still 25 or so cents off of contract highs, whereas you made new contract highs last week in December corn. You made new contract highs this in the overnight in December corn. I think the biggest story now is just shifting our focus as we go out to what we're planting, how much extra we could plant or how little we're going to plant. And then obviously as we move into June, everybody's going to be looking at the forecast, and NOAA at this point on Thursday is going to give us a three-month forecast that could show that Western Corn Belt or even the greater part of the Midwest is going to be under some sort of dry bias or even drought.
You know, and besides that, you know, we're also looking at the crop progress report comes out later on this afternoon. Now, obviously, that holds a key to some near-term, you know, movement. It could go lower, it could go higher, depending on what number USDA throws out there this afternoon. What are you expecting to see in there, and how do you think the markets will react?
I don't know the exact number at this point, but I do feel like we are going to see a big number this week. Now, whether that's a 20% or a 25% increase, I don't necessarily think 25 is going to happen. But with the amount of planting that was available to be done last week, I really do feel like we're going to see roughly 20% get into the ground over the last week here. And then the concern that we have is that a one-week anomaly? Because what we're looking at is more rain coming in the next 5 to 10 days, and that could be what puts us on the sidelines again. So I know there was rain that was expected across most of the Midwest over the weekend, but very little fell. There were some spots that did get some, but we were under 80 to 90% chance of rain across our area, and really only saw that enough to cover the sidewalk the whole weekend.
Yeah, we were under 50%, which is not great for Iowa, but in the way things have been going here in the Western Corn Belt, 50%, you might as well just call it 0%. We got enough to maybe show some raindrops, and that was about it. Now, going over to the livestock market, obviously corn, wheat, soybeans, all that has an effect on where things are going, and hogs and cattle have had some tough times. What are we looking at going into this week?
Well, as we finished out last week, we did see a nice strong move in the hogs. They did bounce back up. Now you've got some concerns about the bird flu, and you've still got some concerns about the demand out of China. But to have a strong finish to last week, despite seeing the market just continuing to sell off, you now have some gaps that you need to fill on the upside in this market. So we're hoping that maybe the worst of its back is behind us, and now it's a time to come back around. You look at some of the heat that we had last week; it's not exactly ideal, but it does cool off this week. So that that could be something to watch. I know there's a lot of PERS issues now. If you look at the weather that we had last week, there was a lot of damage in the Western Corn Belt from those storms. And there were a lot of hog barns that had some damages. So there could be some issues there with moving head around and all that stuff. Looking at the cattle side of things, we made new fresh lows, 3-month lows for the August cattle last week. That is a market that is continuing to back off, and we haven't seen the market really take on a higher cash trade as much as we'd like to. We saw one blip where it was up quite a bit, but then it's kind of leveled off again. That is a market that really does need to find some support here, but the problem is that you're running into the highest supply time of the year, and as that is the case, that generally does tend to press prices down a little bit.
All right, Greg. Well, lots for us to think about, a lot of good information. If folks want to talk marketing strategies, look at some options they've got through the folks at Allendale, how do they get in touch with y'all?
They call us at 800-2-MARKET. That's 800-262-7538.
All right, Greg. Well, thanks for the insight, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next Monday.
Thank you, Dustin.
Now that again was Greg McBride of Allendale. Let's take a look at the futures markets. July corn up 25.5 at 806.75. December up 17.5 at 766.25. July beans up 17 at 1663.5. November new crop up 16 at 1514.25. Soy meal up $6 at 410 even. Soy oil 44 cents higher at 80.37. September Chicago wheat up 61 cents at 1242 even. Minneapolis up 53.5 at 1372.25. Kansas wheat is up 66.25 at 13.50 even. Oats for September up 14 cents at $6 even. Live cattle for August, 55 cents higher at 132.90. August feeders, $1.75 lower at 166.27. June lean hogs up $1.97 at 102.72. And Class 3 milk for May down 7 cents at 24.90. And that again is the Ag Market Podcast for you for Monday, May the 16th. Thanks to Greg McBride of Allendale for joining us like he does every Monday. I'm Dustin Huffman reporting on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, where Iowa Ag Matters.